Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You give life, you are love. Step down in the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. In our love, you give hope, you bring life to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, you give life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope,
yes, God.
You restore every heart that is broken, you give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord, this your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, only. Oh, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry,
these bones will say, great are you, Lord. This your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Holy.
Thank you. Read the word again. For our hearing, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. And for this morning, I just want to talk about the life of a blessed man. The life of a blessed man. Consider the difference between a strong and weak cup of tea. The same ingredients, water and tea, are used for both. The difference is that the strong cup of tea results from the tea's immersion in the water longer, allowing the water more time to get into the tea and the tea into the water. The longer the steeping process, the stronger the cup of tea. In the same way, the length of time we spend in God's Word determines how deeply we get into it and it gets into us. Just like the tea, the longer we are in the Word, the stronger we become. In essence, that's what I believe these first three scriptures of text is tailored to teach us today. These first three verses in chapter 1 is structured to reveal exactly how the blessings of God are manifested in our lives and the truth of God's covenant with Israel. God's covenant with Israel made it clear that he would bless their obedience and judge their disobedience. And these verses, we learn that while we do not control the amount or frequency of the blessings we receive, we do play an active part and whether or not we receive the blessing. Yes, contrary to popular belief, God does not simply bless us because we are deserving. The truth is, he blesses us when we are obedient. Which leads me to my first point, no long formalities this morning. You will be blessed by God when you are actively obedient to him. This scripture is telling the teachers, first of all, you will be blessed by God when you are actively obedient to him. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What we see here in this text is that obedience is not a passive term or action. When the writer speaks of the blessing of man in this text, he is alluding to the fact that in order for man to be blessed, there are particular actions one must undergo to receive the blessing. Blessed in this text is from the Greek word makarios. It means to be happy, but not in the usual sense of happiness based on positive circumstances. In a biblical perspective, makarios describes the person who is free from daily cares and worries because his or her every breath circumstance is in the hand of his maker, the one who gives him such an assurance. The word is used to describe the kind of happiness that comes from receiving divine favor. In other words, church, we are blessed not because we receive certain external possessions from God, but we are blessed because the cares of this life, our issues, our circumstances, our very lives are in the hands of the Master. And watch, not simply because he is our creator, but again because we are obedient to him. You see, there is a different freedom one receives when you have an assurance that we are in God's hand as his child and not just his creation. Watch. Every person walking this earth has been blessed by the fact that God chose to create them.
Mm-hmm.
But until you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you cannot receive the freedom that comes with the consistent blessing of being in the Master's hand. I cannot lean and depend on the safety of the Master's hand if I haven't given my life back to the hand of the one who created me. In order to live and receive this happiness, this blessed life, this assurance that God can handle the affairs of my life, we must not only acknowledge that God is our creator of all, but we must come to acknowledge and accept that God created us, that God put a plan of salvation in place for us, that he has redeemed us back into himself, and that we have been given the opportunity to transition from enemies before accepting Christ to being his very children when we accept Christ. Ephesians says, we are now no longer enemies against God, but we are the very elect children of God. And we become the elect children when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And with that confession comes the ability to be a recipient, hallelujah, of the blessings of God. And again, it's not blessings of external stuff, hallelujah, but it's the assurance of God's presence. Blessed is the man who, this little simple phrase sets up for us the truth of the matter. This phrase is an action phrase, leading to the point that the man that is blessed is the man or woman who is actively participating in a particular movement. Again, it's an action phrase that leads to the point that a man or a woman, the blessed man or woman, is one who is actively participating in a particular movement. Yet when you look at the psalm, you realize the psalmist does not lead into a listing of righteous activities to perform. Instead, he leads us into a listing of things to avoid in our time of obedience before God. He gives us a list of what not to do if we want to consider ourselves blessed in the eyes of God. He tells us that what not to do if we want the cares or worries of our lives to be handled by the Master. He leaves us telling us first, if we want to walk in active obedience to God, that we must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Too often in our liberality and our Christian faith and our desire to be accepting, we open our eyes, ears, and hearts to those we are connected to, regardless of their faith or stance in life. However, the psalmist is not only warning us to be careful of doing this, but he is issuing a decree that if we want to be blessed, we cannot actively walk under the counsel of those who are ungodly. Watch. The ungodly are those who lack interest in the things of God, and they possess a behavior and attitude consistent with such an irreverent attitude. As a child of God, you and I cannot allow our behavior and conduct to be guided or influenced by those who have no reverence for God. If we want to be blessed, or we want to be considered blessed, we must ensure that our lifestyles and actions are leading others by the word and not the other way around. We cannot move and grow hand in hand with those whose principles and precepts are derived from the world and not the word. As children of God, how can you expect those that have no reverence for your God, that have no godly wisdom from the word, to pour knowledge and wisdom into you? How can you expect those that don't understand the principle of God's word to encourage you to live right? How, when they are consciously and constantly living against his commands? How can we take advice from someone who does not consult the master? Yes, they may have life experiences. Yes, they may have expertise or worldly knowledge in a particular area. And yes, God does use them, but you cannot allow them to pour wisdom or to glean from them to succeed in the ways of God if their wisdom is not learned from the word of God. In short, you cannot allow yourself to walk in conjunction with those walking in outright disobedience to God. It doesn't mean that you don't have fellowship with those that don't believe like you. Because if you don't have fellowship, God can't use you as a disciple to draw them into the truth of his word. What it means is, I can't take wisdom on how I should live my life if the way you live your life is outside of the will of God. If I am a believer and I am saying I'm trying to live my life according to the ways and the principles and precepts of God's word, you can't give me wisdom when you don't know his word. Hallelujah. Stop expecting worldly wisdom from those that don't know the word. They will shorten your growth. They will hinder your growth. They will hinder your walk. They will give you their opinions. They will give you facts. They will give you information from everything else but the word. And God says we cannot walk in the council. The ungodly do not have the anointing or the appointing of God to give us counsel. Make sure you have godly people around your life to give you counsel from the word of God. Amen. When somebody is counseling you, mentoring, teaching you, and you are a believer, and you're trying to grow in the things of God, you got to make sure you are connected with those walking with the Lord, working in the word. Hallelujah. So that they can bless you with the word. Don't walk. Don't walk. Now, not only does he want us not to walk in the counsel of ungodly, but he also says, they don't sit in the seat of the scornful. As a child of God, you must ensure you're not walking with those who have no reverence for God, but also do not find yourself in the same place of those actively sinning. Now, I know you might be saying, well, we all sin. And while that is true, there is a vast difference between committing sin and living in sin. I believe in this text, the psalmist is admonishing us to stay away from people where active sinning, people and places, excuse me, where active sinning is the order of the day. To stand in their path means that the obedient believer has sought out and followed those who are deliberately looking for ways to live according to their flesh instead of the word. Sinners have a path where they stand, and the righteous man knows he does not belong on that path. Path speaks of a way, a road, a direction, and the righteous man is not traveling in the same direction as sinners. The righteous man is not afraid to take a less traveled road because he knows it leads to blessing, happiness, and eternal life. Matthew 7:13 says it this way, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. The path of sinners refers to their way of life or behavior. Again, to stand in the path of sinners means involvement with sinners in their sinful behavior. Again, we are not called to not fellowship with them because, again, how can you draw them to Christ if you have no fellowship? But you ought not be doing the same thing that they are doing, living the same way outside of God's will. The word sinners comes from a Hebrew word meaning to miss the mark. It refers to deviating from the standard of God as revealed in his word. If we run with worldly people in their godless way of life, you will eventually be wrongly influenced by them. Whether you're a new believer or have been on this journey a long time, you must ensure that the path you are on is not the path that leads to a sinful way of living, nor can you allow your path to intersect with the path of unrighteousness, meaning that if you say that you believe in God, you ought to be found constantly fighting against your flesh and worldly ways that will cause you to live outside of God's will and find you doing everything possible to be producing the life that God has ordained for you to be. It means that when people see you, when you walk in the room, they should be able to see God's Holy Spirit within you, illuminating from you. You ever went to a place and you got in, you went to a place you know you really shouldn't have been, and you walk in the door and somebody says, you don't look like you belong here. I don't know about anybody else, but let me just tell on myself. Before I came to Christ, I was a club head. I liked going to the club. I liked dancing. And every Friday and Saturday, that's where you can find me at. But when I gave my life to the Lord, a few years after, a friend of mine was having a birthday party. And we went to the club, right? And when we walked in and we're standing there, first of all, immediately I felt uncomfortable. Not to say that the people there were bad, but some of the things that they were operating in were not godly. And as we were standing there, about 15 minutes in, somebody came to me that I never knew and said, you must love God. And I said, why? He said, because you look out of place. Now, I had on the same things everybody else had on. I had on a cute little outfit, had my hair done. But she said, something different about you. You don't look like you ought to be here. And I said, you are absolutely right. I really don't. I was trying to support my friend, but I understand now that God has something different for me, and I ought not be here. And that's what I'm saying. When you get into certain situations, or you find yourself in certain circumstances, or you find yourself around certain people, they ought to be able to see the light of God in you because you have professed God. They shouldn't see you doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, cussing the same way. Everybody else is cussing, laying with people. You know you ain't got no business laying with. If you are righteous, your life ought to look righteous. If you love the Lord, you ought to be walking in the principles and the ways of God's word. You can't be actively sinning and praising God at the same time. First of all, the Holy Spirit will convict your heart. Second of all, you are infecting those that are looking for the hope of the Lord because they can't see God in heaven. Who they see is you. And if you are intersecting worldly stuff while you try to walk by the word, you will confuse somebody. That's why he said, don't be on that path. Don't find yourself doing those things. Hallelujah. Not only must we watch where we walk and stand, but we gotta watch where we sit. Blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Sit in this text is a sense to sit, to dwell, to remain, to abide. And it emphasizes thoroughly settled state or condition. It means that one has settled down and is comfortable and content with the world, with its patterns. In the present context, this verb pictures the idea of becoming comfortable with sin and a progression from casual influence of ungodly people by joining them, watch, in their scorn. Scornful people are people who live in a constant state of contempt. They simply can't stand anything, and they complain about everything. He says, Solomon says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Stop blaming God. Stop always being mad. Stop always being fearful. Stop always being in doubt. Stop murmuring and complaining about everything that's not going your way. Begin to ask God, God, what are you doing? How are you at work? Where are you leading me? I might not look like bad it feels. I might not like what I'm going through, but yet I'm going to give you praise. Soulful people got a reason to be miserable, but worshiping people, blessed people got a reason to give God praise. Because they realize it's not as bad as it could be. They realize that this is just another opportunity for God to show up in my life. They realize that although I might be in the valley, I know I'm not alone. I might not have no answers. I might not see the way of escape, but I'm not going to complain about the darkness, and I'm not going to complain about the closed door. Why? Because I know my God, my Father, is with me. I know He is my shepherd. I know He is my way maker. I know He is my healer. I know He is my deliverer. I know He is making a way of escape. I know God's got me. So I won't complain about what I see, but I'll give Him praise until He changes it. Hallelujah. We can't sit in the seat of the sorrowful. We got to be those that praise God no matter what. Praise Him in every situation and circumstances. Praise Him despite who walks away. Praise Him despite what ailments I have. Praise Him despite how low my bank account is. Praise Him despite of COVID-19. Praise Him in spite of systemic racism. Praise Him because He's still in control. Hallelujah. Praise Him because He's still in control. Praise Him because He is still in control. Hallelujah. So the psalmist shows us that we gotta actively be obedient by watching where we walk, stand, and sit. But secondly, we must also actively take pleasure in seeking God. We have to be actively obedient in how we move and operate. But secondly, we have to actively take pleasure in seeking God. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. The psalmist starts off telling us what we must avoid doing. Then he transitions to telling us what we must do. Having refused to walk in the way of evildoers, we instead focus on knowing God's word. You can't get rid of the garbage in your life simply by mental effort. You must replace the negative with something positive, and positive being the word of God. Delight is a masculine noun, which means to take pleasure or find enjoyment in something, to feel great favor towards something, to experience emotional delight. It pictures that which is bent toward, and thus reflects a beautiful figure of the godly man or woman who is ever leaning toward, hallelujah, the law of God. And it's not just referring to the Ten Commandments, but to the law as representative of God's word. And given that God's word is His love letter to fallen, rebellious mankind, the blessed man sees this letter as a young man or woman who would devour a love letter from the one they are courting or being courted by. Sentence by sentence, phrase by phrase, word by word. Reading through the letter without interruption, even unaware of surroundings or distractions. Reading and rereading. Such a picture is one of sheer delight of the beloved at having received a love letter from the God who is the essence of love. And so, the blessed man or woman inclines toward the word. We must be willing, church, to cheerfully digest the word of God day in and day out. The picture here is that while we are awake, that we take time to consistently feast on the word of God while we are conscious by that the time we take our rest for the night, that our subconscious is still feasting on the word. We must make the word a priority in and over our lives above everything else that exists to man. We must fall in love with God's word. Just like when you are courting someone and you're getting to know them, you make sure that you spend time on the phone with them. You know, now we got FaceTime, we got social media, you can text them, you're on the phone with them, whatever it is, right? You intentionally make the time. That person is important to you. It's getting to know their heart so that you know how to love them is important to you. You will make the time to spend with them, to learn of them, right, so that you can have that intimate fellowship. That is what the psalmist is saying when he says we have to delight in the law of the Lord. Too often, we don't like reading the word because we feel like it's a bunch of rules and a bunch of commandments. No, it's God's love letter to mankind. It's a reminder of what he has done for us. It is a reminder of what he has given to us. It is a reminder for how much he cares for us. It is a reminder that we are not alone. It is a reminder, hallelujah, of all of the wonderful assurances and blessings that we have because we have entered into this intimate relationship with him. And he's saying you have to find enjoyment. Right? And when you find yourself feeling like I'm just reading because I'm supposed to believe, begin to ask Holy Spirit, God, help me not to just sit and digest the word because I'm supposed to, but help me love to digest the word. Help me love and find enjoyment in reading God's word. Help me love and finding, or have a love in finding the revelation, a new revelation. If your devotional time is currently stagnated because you feel like I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to, I admonish each and every one of us, ask Holy Spirit, give me a love for the word. Give me a love for understanding. Give me love for wisdom. Give me love for revelation knowledge because I want to be able to have a closer relationship. I want this blessed life that God has for me. I want to know what it means to be all obedient. I want to know how to meditate on God. I don't want to keep meditating on my problems. We don't need to keep meditating on what's going on in the world. We don't need to keep our minds preoccupied by every situation and circumstance of which we have no control. We ought to be able to meditate, to dwell on, to abide in, to live in the word of God, so that even when we come against situations and circumstances, we are not moved, but we are rooted. And that leads me to my last point on this morning. When we are actively obedient to him, and when we actively take pleasure in seeking him. And let me just say, again, when we're talking about seeking him, we're not talking about seeking God's hand, but we're talking about seeking God's heart. Not seeking God for the things that he can do for you, but seeking God just because you love who he is. You love the great I am. You love your Father. Amen. So we have to be actively obedient to him. We have to actively take pleasure in seeking him. And then we have to learn that when we actively participate in being blessed, when we learn to actively take pleasure in seeking God, we will see the manifestation of our blessing. It's right here in the text. When you and I learn how to be actively obedient and how to actively seek God, we will see the manifestation of our blessing. And watch, the blessing is not what we typically think of it. The blessing is here in the word. The blessing is, he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, hallelujah, shall prosper. Let me read you that blessing again, and somebody ought to get excited wherever you are. The blessing is, you shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither, hallelujah, and whatever you do shall prosper, hallelujah. I'm getting excited about that word. Let me read it again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, hallelujah, shall prosper. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Thank you, God. The picture in Psalm 1 is of the godly man or woman being transplanted, which is a fitting image of the New Testament truth of a born-again person. Hallelujah. Before Jesus, before you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins because of the first Adam. And when we were born again by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, we were transferred, hallelujah, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and placed in Christ, rooted and grounded in Him. Planet speaks of stability in the storms of life. The righteous shall flourish, hallelujah, like a palm tree, whose growth may not be so rapid, hear me, but whose endurance for centuries is in fine contrast with the transitory of the metal. Listen, you may not grow, things may not bloom as quick as you want them to, but when you are planted like a tree by the rivers of water, and in this context they're talking about the palm tree, they don't root up fast, but they root down deep. Hallelujah. And they are unbroken. They are unbothered. If you ever think about when you see hurricanes, hallelujah, in Florida, where they have plenty of palm trees, you ever see how the wind blows and the wind is pouring down and all you see is palm trees swinging, right? And I remember that there was one video and it showed this one particular palm tree that folded all the way to the ground and it never snapped. It didn't break no matter how hard the wind blew, no matter how hard that rain came down. Again, I believe this was a hurricane four hurricane that they were experiencing. And it showed these palm trees being beaten so terribly by the wind, but it didn't break. It bit, but it didn't break. It swayed, but it was never uprooted. When you and I are actively obedient to God, when you or I are actively seeking God, it does not matter what storm of life comes. But when you have been rooted in Jesus, life can come and beat the mess out of you, but you won't be broken. You might be bent, but you won't be destroyed. You won't be plucked up out of Christ. You won't be swept. You may feel all of the weight of the storm in your life, but God has promised to plant us by the tree of the living water, and you won't be uprooted. It doesn't matter how hard the enemy comes for you, child of God. You won't be uprooted. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now, how hard things may seem, how difficult it may look like. You're not going to be uprooted. Why? Because you've been planted in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We got stability. Hallelujah. Because of the Savior. I need to say that again. Because somebody feels like they don't have no clarity. Somebody feels like they're being destroyed. Somebody is depressed and frustrated. Somebody is going through all kinds of hell right now. And you need to take root. You need to take trust. You need to stand tall because you've got stability in the Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got stability because you've been rooted. And when you're really rooted and when you really study, your roots go deep. So it don't matter what happens when you have a deeply rooted life in Christ. That means that you won't be superficially plucked up. Oh, God, I thank you. Things may not grow rapidly. You may see things going slowly, but those slow things will last in Jesus. Hallelujah. Too often this world wants everything done rapidly. But when you have rapid growth, thank you, Holy Spirit, and rapid succession, you also have superficial growth and superficial, hallelujah, progression. But when you allow God to slow walk you through the process, hallelujah, when you allow God to take His time and root you deep in the Word, you will have lasting, lasting. I need somebody to understand that this season is not about rapid growth, but you are being tried and produced for lasting fruit. Hallelujah. Woo. It says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm almost done. That brings forth its fruit in his season. The blessed man who abides in the Word can expect to bear fruit. The more we converse with God in prayer, the more we say the word, God can better prepare us for every good work. The sad truth is, too many of us are more concerned about the leaves and neglect the root. Too many of us worry about what people see us doing, hallelujah, that we're not taking the time to make sure that we are building the right foundation. We worry about the leaves and neglect the root. But the root is the most important part. What's done underneath the surface, hallelujah, is what's the most important part. What you do in the secret place, hallelujah, when you spend your time with the Lord, that's the most important part. Hallelujah. Don't be concerned about the production, hallelujah, but be concerned about your planning. Unless we spend time daily in the Word, intentionally setting aside time to allow Holy Spirit to feed us, we cannot expect to bring forth fruit if we are not first grounded in the Word and growing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is why we don't have to be overly concerned with whether or not our workings will be productive. We will be prosperous in the things that God has already ordained to our hands when we are obedient to his word. You don't have to waste time trying to produce only what God can produce. You are not appointed, anointed, or accountable for the fruit that is produced. First of all, what you are doing when you are planting, you are manifesting the seed that you have already been cultivated to be. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has already given you every spiritual seed before you were formed in your mother's womb that God saw fit for you to be able to produce once you were planted and began growing. Once you were planted and began living by the water, which is Jesus. You don't have to worry about what the fruit is going to look like. You got to make sure that you are obedient and doing what God called you to do and trust God to produce. Some of us are frustrated because we're trying to produce fruit God didn't give us to produce. Some of us are so worried about the fruit that we're not taking time to grow in God. And God is saying, you got this thing all messed up. You want to be blessed, but you're busy doing stuff instead of being who I called you to be. I called you to be a tree planted, but you're swaying and you're all over the place and you're broken because you planted yourself in other people. You try to root your belief in yourself. You try to root your belief and trust in other people. You try to root your belief in man-made things. You try to root yourself in worldly perceptions and worldly mindsets. And God said, I had to pluck you up, but I'm waiting for you to allow me to plant you in my son so that you can produce. We have to allow God to plant us. Hallelujah. We have to allow ourselves to be planted. Hallelujah. We have to allow Holy Spirit to come in our life and take over. We have to confess our sins before the Lord. We have to repent unto God. We have to openly and vulnerably give ourselves to God so that he can uproot us from all of those things that we have mistakenly planted our trust in, planted our belief in, planted our faith in, and to begin to be planted by the living water, which is Jesus Christ. In order for us to produce good fruit, we got to be good soil. Thank you, Jesus. In order for us to cultivate good fruit, we got to be good soil. And good soil cannot be sown without a good foundation. Hallelujah. And a good foundation cannot be experienced without Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, and I'll take my seat, says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, in order for us to receive the manifestation of the blessing that comes by being obedient and by actively seeking God, in order for us to be able to be that tree planted by the living water, we got to make sure that we are in the right foundation. And if you are outside of the will of God, if you haven't confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, if you haven't given over to His Holy Spirit, if you haven't trusted in God to be your shepherd, to lead and guide you, if you are struggling to take control over your life instead of giving it over to God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, and I admonish us all to lift up our hands and say, Father, here I am. Whatever I have mistakenly allowed myself to be planted, whatever systems, whatever mindset, whatever ways, whatever people, whatever worldly things, oh God, that I have let my trust be rooted in, God, I give it up. God, root me up out of those places. Root me up out of those relationships. Root me up out of those ways, oh God. Because I want to be planted in Jesus and Jesus alone. I want to be able to decree and declare that on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Christ, who is the one who came to die for me. Christ, who is the one that lived to give me an example. Christ, who is the one that allowed him to nail him on an old rugged cross. Christ, who is the one, hallelujah, who shed his blood for me. Christ, who is the one that ascended into heaven and is sitting at your hand making intercession for me. Christ, who is the one that's going to come back for me. Christ, who is the one that gave me his Holy Spirit so I could be led, so I could be covered, so I could be taught. Christ, who is the one that died for my salvation. Christ, who is the one that made a divine exchange for my sins and gave me his righteousness. Christ, who is the one who is the foundation of my life. God, plant me in the right river, plant me, oh God, in the right foundation so I have the blessing of your assurance. Hallelujah. So I have the blessing of your presence. So I have the blessing of your peace. So I have the blessing of your protection. So I have the blessing of your direction. God, plant me in the right places, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that was a blessing to someone on this morning.